that I believe will help you. 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 14. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 14. My first sermon of the new year. 2 Samuel, chapter number 14. There's a verse of scripture here in 2 Samuel 14, 14. It's actually talking about dying or when your life is over, but I'm going to use it as our life as in time. And I think not do any damage to the scripture by doing that. I just want to sort of pull out part of this verse here and look at it. 2 Samuel 14, 14. The Bible said here, "For we must needs die." We're all going to die. "And are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, neither doth God respect any person. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." Back up there in the first part of that verse, it said we are as water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. Isn't that a practical verse in the Bible? The Bible is the most practical book ever been written. The smartest minds in the world can't figure it all out. And little boys and girls still love the Bible. There's no other book like this book. That's why I encourage you to read it every year. And the book says that your life is like water that's spilt on the ground. Now everybody here has spilt your glass of water or milk, or coffee, or Pepsi, or something, and you'll turn around and knock a glass of water over like that, and once it's gone in that carpet, you cannot gather it up again. That's what that verse is saying. I have a little thing right here above my bed, the head of my bed, and I know this is a bad habit, but I eat and drink and everything in bed all the time. I'll fix me something to eat, And I lay there in bed and read my Bible or what's the news, TV, whatever. And I do it all the time. And more than once, I've turned around in the middle of the night, knocked the pillow, and there went a glass of water. Oh, and it runs down on the mat. And I jump up like that, run, get a towel, and I try to get it up. You can get some of it up, but you cannot gather that water up. Once water's spilt, it cannot, get me down just one hair, but Mike, it cannot be gathered up again. And the Bible said that's the way your life is. If you spill a glass of water on this carpet, it's impossible to get it all out of there and back in that glass. Can't be done. It's gone. And once you knock it over and spill it, it's done then. Ain't no getting it back. But that's the way this year was, 2010. And I'm going to preach this morning on this subject. If I could live 2010 again. I can't. But if I could live 2010, if I spilt that glass of water, I can't get it back in that glass. It's impossible. But if I could, here's what I'd do. Now, you're supposed to live today to the fullest. It is the first day of the rest of your life. The first day of the rest of your life is today. You can't do nothing about tomorrow. It's already gone. Somebody said yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you've got to spend. Today. I can't go back and undo yesterday. I can't live tomorrow. It ain't got here yet. But I can live today. You know what? I can't stand up here and say, well, if it was yesterday, I'd do this. If it was tomorrow, I'm going to do that. I tell you what I can do. I've got right now. I can jump up here and holler and scream and do the best I can for Jesus Christ today. And that's what we ought to do every day of our life. Today, if there wasn't a new year, we'd have to invent one. There'd have to be a starting all over place. There needs to be a place when we start all over, wipe the slate clean and say, all right, I'm going to try this again. I've got my breath. I've wiped my hands off. I'm gonna go back up there and try to hit it again. I'm gonna throw that football again, try to make a completed pass, or I'm gonna make this effort to this. I'm gonna start all over. Now this morning, to help you into the year 2011, I'd like to remind you of some things in 2010. I want to say there's three things that I would try not to do as much if I had 2010 to live over again. I remember standing in the same place last year, a year ago today, standing up here preaching and on the first Sunday in 2010, encouraging you to do right, encouraging you to live for God, encourage you. Some did, some didn't. Some's got in, some got out. We got a big crowd here this morning. Praise God for it. But there's some that's not here. Others have come in. There's no telling what we're going to see by this time next year. We have no idea in the world what we may be facing in 2011. There's no telling. I don't want to be a prophet of gloom. I hope it's a great year. But we don't know. We do not know. So let me say just a few things about it this morning. Every year, I don't know how you do, but I keep a calendar. And I have to, for my schedule. And my 2011 calendar's got a bunch of stuff on it right now. I keep a calendar. And I can go back and tell you where I went, where I was, where I preached and everything in 2010. I've done this for over 25 years. I can tell you where I preached, what I preached and everything, and go back. And it's good for you to go back and look at what all you did in the year before. And I was thinking, as I was going over my calendar, some things I would do different. Number one, if I had 2010 to live over again and turn the clock back, I would try my best not to sin as much. You say, Brother Danny, we're not perfect. I know that. You say, Brother Danny, there's no such thing as a person that lives without sin. I know that. But I believe I'd try more not to sin as much if I could live 2010 again. Every bit of misery I had in this last year was because of sin. Every bit of trouble you had in your marriage, in your home, in your life was because of sin. There's people here this morning whose lives was hurt in 2010 because of sin. And I believe there's some people in here who learned a good lesson this year. And you thought, preacher, if I could go back and live it again, I'd never make that choice. I'd never went to that party. I would have never made that move or went to this place or committed that act or didn't do this when I was supposed to. Or that, preacher, if I had 2010 to live over again, I would not have got drunk. If I had 2010 to live over again, I would not have... My phone rang. My phone rang at 4 o'clock this morning. A young man got in trouble. In trouble. Want me to come and help him. I couldn't. It's impossible for me to do it in the situation he is in. 4 o'clock this morning, my phone rang. I'm going to tell you what, if that young man right now could go back and live this past weekend over, he would have been in this watch night service Friday night. He would have been getting his heart right, but he can't. It's as water spilt on the ground. Once you commit a deed, it's done. Once you say a word, it's said. Once you go to a place, it's on your record. You cannot, but if I could, I wouldn't sin as much in 2010. Would you say amen? I'm telling you, brother, sin causes you misery. Sin will cause you heartache. I can go back and look at my days. There are days when I spent doing something for the Lord. Nights when I was out preaching. I have no regrets over that. I can see other days where I fail the Lord. I can see other days where I give in to the desires of my own heart and my own wicked flesh. And I say, God, I wish I hadn't have failed you in 2010. And you can say the same thing this morning. Lord, if I had 2010 to live over again, I wouldn't sin as much. Each moment is a meeting place between two eternities. We got eternity on this side. We got eternity on that side. Most time we think of eternity as just forever and ever and ever out in the future. It was forever and ever and ever and ever back that way. You can't measure it. Let me show you. All you smart men in here, there's ladies don't think like we think, but men answer this question. If it's 60 feet from here to that wall over, it's 60 feet from here to that wall over there, right there. If I cut that in half, it is what? 30. All right? If I cut that in half, it is 15. If I cut that in half, it is 7.5. Now it's getting a little hard. If I cut that in half, it is 3 3/4. Is that right? Or 3 2/4. That's all right. For redneck's sake, we'll just say, is that right, Roy? 3.75. Thank you, Terry. All right. How about half of that? Well, anyway, you get the picture. One half of 3.75 would be 1.64 or something. 67, Roy said. We're getting closer. One and half of that, and that's pretty hard to do up here talking, figuring that like that. All right, look here. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Did you know if I keep cutting that in half, and keep cutting that in half, keep cutting that in half, keep cutting that in half, I'll never touch that wall. Ever. Now all the ladies say, yes, you would. If you keep going towards it, you're going to touch it. All the men say, no, you won't either. Because no matter how close you get, you're just going halfway. Right? I don't care, but it can be minuscule, 1/10 of a millionth of a millimeter, and you're only going halfway. Now that's eternity small. The lady said, no, you'd run into it sooner or later. But that's because women think logical and men are retarded mathematicians in her head. But if you just cut it in half, you never would hit it. Ain't that right, Bob? Never would. Because no matter how close you get, that's eternity little. Now eternity goes little and eternity goes big. And brother, the only time we got is right now, and that's gone. Now, and that's gone. And that's gone. That's all we got is right now, and that's gone. And now that, and that. And I can't even keep up with it. Time, I'm right now, but that was a minute ago. And I'm right now, that was a second ago. And time is moving, brother, moving. It's as water spilled on the ground. We cannot go back and get it. I wouldn't sin as much. So in other words, I've got to make up my mind in 2011, I'm going to be at war with my vices and my flesh. Let me say that again. Let me say that again for all you folks here that are saved this morning. Benjamin Franklin said, he said, be at war with your vices and peace with your neighbors, and let every new year find you a better man. Say amen right there. That's good advice. The best advice I could give you is be at war with your vices and peace with your neighbors, and let every new year find you a better man. Everybody in here has, you say, what do you mean war with your vices? You know you've got habits. You know you've got things in your life that are wicked and wrong and against God, and you've got the most spiritual person in here, don't give me this junk, has got some wicked something in the flesh that bothers you and tempts you. And let's be at war with our vices this year. And you say, well, Brother Danny, we ain't. You can't say, well, we messed up last year and we'll mess up. That ain't the right attitude to have. Brother, we're going to fight that thing. We're going to fight this flesh. By the grace of God, we're going to fight this flesh. I know people that have a battle with alcohol. I know people have a battle with drugs. I know people have a battle with sexual sins. I know people that have a battle with lying or not paying your tithes and catching up when you've been out 3 weeks. I know people that steal from God. I know people that lay out of church. Everybody in here's got a vice. Everybody in here has got something that you fight with. Let's be at war with our vices in 2011. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this just one time, and don't think I'm, if you think I'm singling you out, I'm not, because it's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. Because there's probably 75 of you in here that need this. But I'm going to tell you something. You hear that if you were gone, you gone out of town, other people does stuff for New Year, but if you missed that revival we had Thursday night and Friday night, we put a lot of work and effort and time and prayer into that thing, and God done something for our kids and doing something for your kids if they're here, and we're doing everything we can to help them. Don't be surprised one day when something happens to them, and you'll say, Brother Andy, I don't know what's wrong with them. I tried to tell them to do right. You've got to get them in church. You've got to get them under the sound of the gospel. You've got to get them in the house of God and let the Bible be preached to them. These kids nowadays need every single service they can possibly get in. Ain't that right? The world's worse than it ever has been. The devil's after your boys and girls day and night. He's after them through the news media. He's after them through their friends at school. He's after them through everything. God, help us in 2011 to not make the mistakes we made in 2010. I'm going to do everything I can to preach to them. We're going to take them to camp. We're going to take them to have the youth rally in April. I'm already started planning for the youth rally. We're trying our best to help these kids. We got a good youth group going, and God's blessing them, but the devil fights them as soon as they walk out that door. Us mamas and daddies got to get behind them. If I had 2011 to live over, I wouldn't sin as much. Number two. If I had 2010 to live over, I wouldn't say as much. Amen. Your words. I had a dear Christian call me the other day and just started gossiping. I couldn't believe it. I don't see how we set ourselves up as such judges and we just because we don't do this and we don't go and we don't get drunk and we don't do this, but we can talk about everybody and every preacher and every church and we're just like we have the right to listen. Gossip is still gossip. It's still wrong to backbite. It's still wrong to cuss. Well, you know what I think? And I think this and I think that. Some of you people sitting right here this morning, your mind is poisoned because of the gossip that you listen to. You can't even have confidence in people at church because somebody said this and somebody said that and somebody said this. Listen, if I had 2010 to live over, I don't believe I'd say as much. You say, Brother Danny, have you gossiped? Yes, I sure have, and I've asked God to forgive me. It ain't right for a preacher to gossip. And quote, ministerially speaking, you know, whatever. Words are like water spilled on the ground. Once you say them, they can't be, they're like daggers. Would you say as much, some of you husbands and wives sitting here this morning, damage has been done to your marriage because of things you say. You know, you get mad and you get in an argument and one says something and then the other says something and you say something meaner to make up for what they said and then they say something meaner and you just want to, you get meaner and meaner. And you know it's wrong to hit a woman, so you can't do that, but you sure cut her up and talk to her like she's a dog and make her feel terrible. Well, guess what? 3 days later, when old lover boy wants some sugar, she's still cold in that ice block, that snowman you've seen out in somebody's yard out there. And you know why? Them words have hurt her. Them words have hurt her. I believe if I had 2010 to live over, I wouldn't say as much. They want to, you know what a good rule is? When you want to say something about somebody, count to 10 and then don't say it. That's what the good rule is. Now the truth is, listen, some of you out here, we think we are so right with God because we dress decent when we come to church. We have on nice dresses, the ladies, and the men have on suits and ties and everything. We think we have arrived, but it's just as filthy and just as ungodly to gossip and hurt somebody witnessing their testimony as it is to do some of these other things we're criticizing them for. Say amen right there. I had 2010 to live over again. I don't believe I'd say as much. Proverbs 29 verse 20 said, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." Gossip is like a vacuum cleaner, brother. You just pick up dirt, 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 dirt. I remember things that people said to me. I went through some problems one time, a long time ago. A young lady, teenage girl, she said, "I can't stand Danny Kessel. Why don't God just take his voice so he can't preach no more?" And that was over 10 years ago, and I never forgot it. That hurt me so bad. That hurt. It hurt. And every 2 or 3 months, I'll think about that. And I thought, God, did she say that about me? You want God to take my voice? I'm glad God don't answer fools like that prayer. Evidently, the Lord didn't agree with her. Thank God. And He usually don't agree with you when you're running your mouth about somebody else. Boy, it's getting quiet in here this morning. If I had 2010 to live over again, I don't believe I'd say as much. Everyone, yeah, I mean, you say, you get mad and you say something to your teenager, or your teenagers get mad and smart off to your parents. I believe if you had that year to live over again, you'd keep your mouth shut and respect your mom and dad. Words can hurt. I'm going to tell you something. You may think I'm a weakling or whatever. I ain't. You may think I am. But whoever said that thing sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt. They didn't know what they was talking about. Words do hurt, don't they? Sometimes I'd about somebody just hit me and get it over with as they hurt me with their tongue like that. That's verbal abuse. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I ain't hit her, but boy, I'll sure let her have a tongue like. Listen, I believe if I had 2010 to live over again, some of you wives right here live a miserable life because your old wicked backslid husband talks to you like a dog all the time. God, help us this morning. What's our kids growing up seeing and hearing? If I had 2010 to live over again, I believe I wouldn't say as much. Number three, and this will be last. If I had 2010 to live over again, I wouldn't sin as much. If I had 2010 to live over again, I wouldn't say as much. Finally, if I had 2010 to live again, I don't believe I'd sit as much. Just sit around. You know, the average person watches TV enough in a year to read the Bible through 22 times. Average person. Average. I don't believe I'd sit as much. You know why? Because all them days, I've got my record. I got up my calendar and looked at it last night. And I do this every year. I don't know how many thousands of miles I traveled, but I preached in nearly 30 revival meetings and over 20-something different churches in 2010. Thank God for it. I preached over 220 times for 365 days. So 2 out of 3 days in 2010, I preached somewhere here or somewhere in revival or somewhere. 224 out of 365. It's on my record. It's on my record. Now, if I had 2010 to live over again, I believe I might have done some things different. There's some days that I just maybe goofed off all evening. I'm not saying it's wrong to relax, take an evening off, walk up in the woods. I'm not saying playing ball, golf, or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a little rest and relaxation. But if all you do is come home of the day and turn the TV on and lay on the couch and go to bed or watch the computer, if that's all you do, brother, you're wasting your life. You're wasting it. If I had 2010 to live over again, let me give you an example. Let's say we had to stand before God. And I'd stand before God. I don't regret driving down there to Gastonia and preaching every night at Jack Googie's church. I'm okay with that. But then the Lord brings up one of them other days where I just sort of just did nothing, or I just lived for myself, whatever. I'd say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. If I had that day to live over, I believe that Saturday morning I'd go on a bus route. If I had that day to live over, I believe I'd get, if I had 2010 to live over again, I'd make some more visits on Saturday. As a matter of fact, one of my New Year's resolutions is to do some more visiting during the nights. If we can play ball 2 or 3 nights a week, we can visit. Amen. That's right. That's right. If you can do that, you can go to church. You can do what you want to. If I had 2010 to live over again, I wouldn't sit around as much. You know me, I don't sit much, but I wouldn't sit as much. Even if you didn't live in sin, you might have wasted many a day. In 1863, somewhere along in there, that year, two boys attended a prayer meeting up in Washington, D.C. at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. Deep snow. They walked down the hallway and there's a dark room in there where the pastor's office was, and they saw two men discussing something, leaned over like that. A tall gentleman leaned over. The next Sunday, they came to church, same scene. Two men, one tall gentleman, leaned over. After the service that night, they saw big footprints in the snow. They followed them. They saw the men going. It was Abraham Lincoln. They said he had a big foot. And Abraham Lincoln went right back to the White House. It was Abraham Lincoln in there talking to that preacher on Sunday. Two Sundays in a row. And this didn't come out. It was all kept as quiet until after his assassination. And years later, they were going through the archives of that Presbyterian church, and they dug this information up, and they wrote some books, and they found a letter that was written by Abraham Lincoln, man, the president. And he's always a moral man and always believed the Bible, but he never really made a public profession of faith. And on April 13th, was it 1863 or two, or one of those years? 63, wasn't it? 100 years from Kennedy, I think. Whatever year it was April 13th. And he wrote a letter and said, "I have seriously considered the matter of salvation in Jesus Christ, and I'm ready to make my profession public." And he was going to do it the next Sunday, which was the 18th. That's 13th. And on the 14th, he got shot and killed. The next day. No Abraham Lincoln? Thank God he made it in. He was always a moral man. But he made it in, as far as we know. He'd done the right thing. One day before he died. Let me say something about your Bible this year, and I'll be through. The Bible said give attendance to reading. The Bible said seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Husbands and wives, read a chapter at night. Read chapter. You can read one chapter a day and read 365 this year. That's all the New Testament and a bunch of Psalms and Proverbs and some of them. The Bible has 1,189 chapters. You can read 10 chapters a day and read it through three times this year. You can read five in the Old and five in the New and read the Old Testament twice and the New Testament seven. You can do like I do, read three chapters in the Old, two in the New, and read the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once. If you'll make up your mind, you're going to do it today. If you could live 20, you say, "Preacher, if I had 20, 10 to live over, I'd spend more time in my Bible." Amen? You've got to get in the habit of it. Miss Millie, when do you read your Bible? In the morning? In the morning. First thing, coffee or whatever. Miss Phyllis, how about you? In the morning. There's two Bible readers. She read it. How many times did you go through it this year? Twice. They do it in the morning. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've got kids and I've got..." Yeah, I know. My phone starts ringing too. If you wait till 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock, you ain't going to do it. "I'll read it at 12. No, you won't. I'll read it tonight. Then what'll happen? You'll be too sleepy. Get up. Here's a good rule. Told these teenage girls this morning. You say, "My flesh is going to eat. My spirit's going to eat. If my spirit don't eat, my flesh don't." Now you'll remember it now, won't you? They said, "Well, I forgot to read my Bible." You didn't forget to eat. There's something down in there that says, "Eat! Throw me something down here, I'm dying." See, that's the way your spirit does. Something. I've read my Bible so long, it just comes natural. Just like, combing your hair, brushing your teeth, you just do it naturally. And that's what you got to do. Anything you do for 30 days becomes a habit. How many of you is going on? No, don't raise your hand. We done know one man in here. He's made it public. He said, "He said Charlie Brown is going on a diet today. And we're going to hold him to it." Everybody in here said, "I'm going to go on a diet." You say, "Well, we may not. You may not, but trying's better than nothing. Trying's better than nothing. If I had 2010 to live over again, I'd do some things different. But I don't. Come on, Miss Dizzy. I don't have 2010 to live over again. I don't. It's gone. It's water spilled on the ground. But I tell you what I do have. I got this year." Amen. You know what we're going to do? While she's playing softly, we're going to start a Bible study on the book of Jonah this Wednesday night. Four Wednesday nights. You'd be surprised what stuff's in Jonah. You want to learn all about that whale and how they, scientists say there ain't no whale in that part of the world? I'll tell you one thing, there's one, brother. It wasn't alive back then. They don't know. And then they say a whale's not a fish. That's what, you've been to school, they taught you a whale ain't a fish. That shows how much they know. A whale is a fish. So is a dolphin. No, it's not. It's a mammal. It's a fish. Science changed the name of it. Let me ask you a question. Is your heart your heart? Your heart ain't that little thing. Your heart ain't that little organ. Some people have a heart transplant. What if they were saved and they wasn't saved and Jesus was in their heart and they put it in somebody else, they'd go to heaven whether they got saved or not. See? We go by the Bible definition of a word. And the Bible definition of a fish is a big thing that swims in water. Like a star, we go by the Bible definition. Gay, the word gay, we go by the Bible definition. That means happy. We're all gay, right? See, you're messed up. You're messed up in your head. The Bible definition of the word is happy, not pervert. That's right. Caught you while you wasn't paying attention. One preacher got up and said, I'm gay. I said, In the Bible definition of it, we're happy. We're not queers. If I had 2010 to live over again, I'd make some changes. But I don't. It's water spilled on the ground. But thank God we can start all over this morning. Let's do that. Let's all stand. We're going to sing. Meet me here at the altar this morning, and let's start all over. Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on. Everybody. Let's just start all over this morning. Start all over. Let's do that. Amen. 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 Come on. Let's start all over this morning. Let's start all over in our church on Wednesday night, in our tithe, in our offering. Let's start all over. Amen. See if there be. Come on now. That's right. Come on. Everybody sing now. Clean. Amen. Amen. Come on. And set me free. Everybody, let's sing. Everybody. I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.